Hi everybody, welcome back to the group chat. Okay, wait, should we do that again?
Welcome everyone back to the group chat. Finally, we're back. And this time around, we're coming back to you with a whole new look. So I'm back, I'm Daryl. With me is my co-host Gabby. And today we have Clarence on the podcast. Now, before we go on any further, I would like to give Clarence a bit of time to self-intro himself.
Okay. Hello everybody, I am Clarence and I'm a math tutor at Overmark. So I've been teaching math tuition for the past 4 years, and teaching is actually my passion. As much as the people around me don't really believe in that, but I find myself the happiest and when I'm teaching, and it gives me a very great sense of fulfillment when I'm teaching my students. And of course, I think I enjoy being around younger people. So because I feel much younger when I'm hanging around younger people. Yeah.
Okay, I see. Actually, there was one time I came across you teaching. And I saw you teaching with so much passion. You know, like, where do you get this passion from, especially for math?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've gotten that a lot from my students because they're wondering, like, oh, math is such a boring chapter. Like, it's such a boring subject. Why do you like math so much? So I think funny thing is this has to go back to my secondary school days, whereby I think I developed a very strong understanding of math since primary school as well. So it made me realize that, okay, math is the only subject that I can do well in out of my 8 subjects in secondary school. So math is the only one that I could do well in, which I guess made me love math even more and try even harder so that I could maintain that grade at the top. So after a while, I realized that actually to math, it's not just about practicing, or it's not just about formulas. At the end of the day, math is around us in our everyday lives, just that we don't notice it. So I hope that I can spread this passion to my students, and then they can realize that math is not that difficult after all, and it's one of the easier topics or easier subjects that you can score A in your O-levels.
Yeah, I mean, as you can tell, like, Clarence has such a passion for math. That's why, you know, Darren and I invited him today to really tell us more about how you can do well for, you know, E-Math and A-Math. So Clarence, my first question to you is, you know, before we even begin, what is the difference, you know, between E-Math and A-Math?
E-Math is a topic, is a subject that everybody has to take from Sec 1 to Sec 4. Well, A-Math is only a subject that selected students can choose to take in upper Sec. So from Sec 3 onwards. So E-Math mostly tests on your everyday applications or on mathematics, whereas additional math, it is really testing on your advanced understanding and it has more complex concepts in it. So if you are an O-level student now and you're looking to go into JC, you will have to use your additional math when you go to JC, especially if you're taking H2 math, because it has a prerequisite that A-Math foundations will be needed in H2 math. So if you are moving on to Sec 3 next year and you're deciding whether you want to take up A-Math or not, I think what you should consider is to go and think if you want to go into JC or Poly. I think regardless which route you decide to take, A-Math has a lot of interesting concepts such as calculus, which will be used in tertiary education, whether it's JC or Poly, or even when you go into university in the future, you will still make use of all these concepts on differentiation and integration. So I think it may be difficult, correct? It's not as easy as E-Math for sure, but it will definitely be very helpful in the future.
Just to add on, right, I think many of you might not know this, but probably one of the most in-demand skill set nowadays is probably programming, coding, because it's the whole new tech AI revolution. There's actually a very strong math application to all of this. I think when I was having a chat with Clarence the other time as well, is actually that there's a lot of current jobs and skill sets that require math. Even when it comes to graphic design for games, there's actually a very strong application of knowing how to do your math equations to get the curvature that you want. So math is not just limited to what you think it is, but it has wide-scale application in even the professional world today.
Yeah, I mean, like, Daryl has told us a lot more about how math is relevant in daily life. But, you know, coming from me, I used to be a student as well. I struggled so much with math. Clarence, can you tell us, you know, now that we know the difference between E-Math and A-Math, how exactly do you study well and get that A1 for both subjects?
Okay, so I always share this with my students as well. And speaking from my own past experience, I would say that you want to do well in math. Number one, you need tons of practice. I think that is something that you can't avoid even though it can be very tedious, it can be very boring. By the end of the day, with tons of practice, you are familiar with the kinds of questions that you will be facing in the exams, and you will know which steps to take, what concepts you must understand, and what are the formulas that you must use. Which brings me to my next point. For those taking O-levels this year especially, I think this will be very helpful, because if you were to look at your past 10 years series papers, you'll realize that all the topics, or rather all the questions that they're asking you, they are rather similar. So for each topic, they will only ask you a specific kind of question. So you just need to master a question, each topic and each types of question that they can ask you. And I think you should be able to do quite well for your math. And one more thing that I can share is to really go and understand the working instead of memorizing the working. Because memorizing can only take you up to a certain level. But if you understand it, you can remember it, and you'll be able to apply all these concepts for a very, very long time.
Just to add on, math, right, I think there's a misconception, because students, a lot of times when I see them, even for science, because I mainly teach science, right, that there's an over-obsession with the answer. Like, what is the answer? Actually, when I'm teaching, right, half the time I don't care about the answer. I always tell that to my class, to my students. Ignore the answer, screw it. Why? Because the question can change, unless it's a definition question in science. So the focus for any subject, whether it's science or math, should always be building the understanding. The focus should always be on problem solving. What were the steps necessary to get to the answer? Because that thought process will not change. So I would say that the same could be said for math. Truth be told, my own personal story is that when I was in Sec 4, I was struggling quite badly with AMF. I was actually failing my mid-years. So there was tests and stuff I was failing. So in June, I was still a F9. But by the time it came to O-level, I got an A. So what was that big difference? The secret is practice. So after I did enough practice, I understood the steps necessary to get to the answer. And from then, right, math felt easy. I felt more confident. I felt more excited to do math. And that positive loop, right, had a very big impact of making me feel better and therefore do better. And that whole thing just keeps compounding until a point whereby, I'm suddenly good at A math. So I think for those that are listening out there and you're like struggling now, don't be too disheartened. You just need to find the right mindset to it. Because once you get better in math, everything's just, life is good.
Okay, we will now go for a commercial break.
Hi everyone, if this is your first time tuning into our podcast, welcome! Overmark is one of Singapore's fastest growing secondary and JC tuition brand. We're located all across Singapore, including locations like Kovan, Bukit Timah and Marine Parade. If you're curious about the learning experience here at Overmark, sign up for a free trial lesson anytime. And with that, back to the podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. So earlier we were talking about, you know, some strategies to do well for your EMF and AMF. I think Clarence mentioned also about topical revision, and Daryl mentioned that practice actually makes perfect for math. But the question is, you know, what are some common fallible areas or problems that people will face when they are trying to study for EMF and AMF? Clarence?
Okay, definitely. I've seen a lot of my students struggling to even start with AMF questions, especially because of how complex the question looks and how tedious the working can be. But at the end of the day, what I would say is that most students, if you're struggling with the first step, especially if the question is very complicated, you can always look at the information provided in the question. That's one. Because if it's a multi-part questions, you should understand that the part A of the question is always the easiest, and it means that you can solve part A by using the information provided in the questions. So I think one thing that students struggle with is starting the question, and I think they can always improve that by looking at the information provided by the questions, and then from there they will be able to start. I think if you understand the concepts and you know what you should be doing, the moment you start writing, even if the line is wrong, as long as you start writing something, I think the rest will come naturally. This may sound a bit ridiculous, but I think it is quite true. Even if you were to write something that is wrong, as long as you start by writing a formula, or rather anything that you can remember from the concepts, everything else will come naturally. So when I look at how my students do some of their work, they always struggle with trigonal identities, which is a topic in Sec 3 AMF, because of how it's a proving question and they don't know how to start. So I always tell them, you will start by looking at the more complex equation and then you start working from there, because when it's more complicated, there's more things for you to work with. So as long as you start writing something, you can move on from there. And if you don't start writing anything, then there's nothing you can do and you will never be able to progress from that question. So I think one thing that students always struggle with is really to start any question for math. And other than that, of course, all these careless mistakes and students tend to make is also very common. So I am guilty of that as well. Back when I was a student or sometimes even when I'm teaching, careless mistakes like copying the wrong number, writing an addition sign instead of a subtraction sign, I think those are very common mistakes. But over time, when you're doing practice papers and when you're familiar with exams, I think you will realize that when you have your final answer, and if you have the sufficient time, you can go back and check your answers. So more often than not, for A math especially, for topics such as partial fractions, for those that are in my class, they should be familiar with this. Once you understand that what the question is looking for is to rewrite your fractions into maybe in another form, you should understand that you are not changing the value of the equation, so the value shouldn't be changing, which means you can check your answer by making sure that your final answer and the question matches. So all these are really just tips and tricks that students can make use of when they are checking their work to minimize their careless mistakes during the exams, because these careless mistakes do actually make a difference between your A1 and A2. And last but not least, I think especially for O-level students, what they forget about in E-Math, or rather what they neglect, is really your Sec 1 and Sec 2 topics, which I don't fault them for, because if I'm a Sec 4 student, I probably will not focus too much on Sec 1 and Sec 2 topics as well. But those topics are the ones that make up maybe 10 to 20 marks of your paper 1, and they actually make a big difference as well. So for those topics, I think if you are struggling or rather you are neglecting them, maybe you can go and take a look at them and make sure you do ample revision before you start on your practice papers.
So where I'll come in here, right, is I want to discuss this theory that I always have, which is called reinforced learning. So in short, right, if you want to simplify this, let's just call it doing your corrections. So I always believe that learning is done by learning from your mistakes. Now, especially in math, there's a clear-cut correct answer. There's no debate. If you couldn't get the question correct, means you didn't lah, right? But what you need to do here is to understand it's okay to make mistakes. It is okay not to know how to do the question. But if the same question appears again, or the same question type appears again, you need to ensure that you're able to solve it. And the only way to do so is to learn from your mistakes, which is the corrections, right? In a different color, when your teacher is going through, when your tutor is going through, copy that down. What I like to do after that is that after a day or two, I will reattempt the question. Typically on the weekend, I will retry the exact same question again while not referencing my correction. If I can do it around this time, it means I've succeeded. I have learned. If I still can't, I couldn't do it, it's a problem, which is when I have to go back to my corrections to review where went wrong, how did I get stuck. If I still don't understand the working step, why is it done in this particular manner? I'll make it a point to ask my teacher or my tutor about it to get that clarification. Because like Clarence mentioned at the start of the podcast, math, right, the question types are quite standardized. It's just different numbers, slightly different arrangements and stuff. But half the time, is the thing that they're testing is the same. So once you get the hang of it, you finally unlock the ability to do all of the same question type. But that all begins with you doing your corrections. So if there's one thing I'd like to leave with most students who are listening to this podcast is take your corrections seriously. There's a lot of students that, you know, they love the grind. They're like, oh, I'm going to do 10 prelim papers, right? But they do the 10 prelim papers. Out of the 10 papers they do, maybe 70% they can do, 30% cannot. Then they, okay, let me do another 10. They love like the quantity. They're like, well, I'm grinding them hard. But is that really effective learning? It's not. What's more effective is not doing more paper, but learning from your mistake. Because if the question that you couldn't do previously, now you're able to do, in an exam, what that translates to is you being able to score the extra 5, that 10, that 15 mark, which is the difference between a B3 and an A1. So take your corrections super seriously. If you're revising, go and review questions that you have gotten wrong previously. There's a lot of value there to be unlocked.
Yeah, I mean, those are great points. It goes back to the idea of like, what is this practice that I'm doing and how can I be intentional about the practice that I'm making so I don't waste my time and study smart also. I think the next question that I have, especially for Clarence, would be, let's say I take all of those points that you have. You say like, okay, you know, it's difficult to start a question. Maybe I start, but I still find like, hey, actually, I need that extra help. Where can I get like extra help, extra resources from? Be it like, you know, books that you might have personally used, for Daryl also, books that you might have used during your O-level or A-level journey to improve and score the A1.
I think if you are struggling to start with those questions, it means that you have a you still don't really understand the concept, whereby you don't understand which formulas to use, or rather how to use those formulas. I think if you are struggling with that, you can actually go back to your textbook and look at the example questions. So for math, I think just by looking at the formulas, I don't think it will be sufficient. I think what you need to see is the example questions, whereby they give your step-by-step explanation. So from there, you will then be able to understand like, oh, okay, so for a question like this, how am I supposed to solve and how am I supposed to use these formulas, so and so forth. So you can always look back at your textbook. And I know some students, or rather some of my own students, like to tell me that they don't understand their textbook, or rather they don't think the textbook is good enough. But at the end of the day, they only can test you what they are teaching you. So if they are teaching you this particular example question in the textbook, it will definitely be an example that will come up in the exam as well. So I think you can always look back at your textbook, and then of course you can understand the concepts from there. Make sure you know what the question examples are doing, and then from there you should be able to apply. And of course, if the textbook is too long for you, it's too tedious for you, what I just gave my students recently, so for those that attended my Sec 4 eMath crash course, I made for them a cheat sheet that covers everything that they need to know from Sec 1 all the way to Sec 4. So the cheat sheet is just a very summarized version of your content for the past 4 years, whereby I indicate the important formulas, the important tips and pointers that you need to know when you're doing an exam. So that cheat sheet should be made available to most students in a while. And on top of that, when I have made some free notes on our website as well, which I think it is quite useful, because I have some of my students also saying that they make use of the free notes on the website to revise for their Sec 3 topics, especially for those Sec 4 students, because they are slightly rusty with the Sec 3 topics. So I think the free notes are also a possible option to help you revise. But of course, if all these don't work out, or rather you think that you need someone else to always help you, to guide you, or to answer your questions outside of school hours, I think you can always come for a trial class at home up, or if you specifically want me to be your tutor, I mean, I'm more than happy to welcome you into the class and come for a trial. And of course, hopefully you get to learn a thing or two from me. At the end of the day, I hope that all my students are able to do well in their exams, and I hope that I'm able to help them in one way or another in preparation for their O-level exams.
Okay, since the topic is on learning resources, right, I would say almost all students have this with you, which is your TYS. I find that to be a very good place to start your practices from. The truth is that when school set prelim papers, they are typically a bit more challenging than the TYS. So if you are like just starting out, you are not too certain like where is the difficulty level pitched at, I think the TYS is a very automatic place to head towards. For you to practice with the answer key given, you will clock in the basic understanding of questions. And once you have achieved that minimal level of foundation and mastery, I would then encourage you all to move on to try more prelim papers. So for prelim papers itself, the struggle would be that it's not grouped topically. That means it's like everything is being tested. So you always start with your topical TYS first. Especially for Sec 4s who are tuning into this podcast, your prelim is coming out in a matter of weeks. So you should be doing prelim papers. My own students have started doing prelim papers back in May. Every week we're doing a paper. You can imagine the kind of intensity, lah. It's damn tough, lah. But that's why they do well, right? So you have to put in the work. I'll say that for math, I will boil it down back to practice. So you start with your topical TYS, then you move on to your papers. There's also yearly TYS that I find it to be helpful to do, especially before your own O-level itself. So I think Clarence also mentioned that over Mark, we also regularly update free content. In fact, we also have free revision sessions on YouTube that you can tune in if you find that your certain particular topic is weak. So the resources are out there for you. You just have to go and look for them and to utilize them. So don't give yourself an excuse, because you are supposed to be very resourceful, right? There's so many places that you can find free materials, extra help from. You just need to tap on these places to get the help that you need, all right? At the end of the day, you have to take responsibility for your own grade. So if your goal, you know, I want to get an A1 for AMath. Don't wait for other people to help you. Help yourself, right? Even if you just want to come for a free trial, come for Clarence's class. It's free anyway, right? Sit in for one lesson. Maybe you'll fall in love with him and attend his class. But hey, that's for you to determine. But my main point is go for whatever you need to. If you need consult with your teacher, go for consult with your teacher. Make it happen. Don't wait for things to happen to you.
Okay, I have one last question for you guys. It's a difficult one. Okay, so let's pretend, you know, we are a sec four student. There's only about like, what, 4 months left, you know, to O levels, and I'm trying to study all my different subjects, but I find that I'm not really doing well. So the question is, should I drop my A math? Clarence, any thoughts?
Okay, speaking from my own experience, right, when I was taking O levels, I have a lot of my friends that were asked to drop A math because they have been failing, they have been getting B7, E8 for their entire AMF life, even up to the June holidays, or even up to prelims as well. But all of them didn't drop, because what they know is that AMF is similar to EMF. Okay, it's all about practice, like what Daryl said. If you're willing to put in the hard work to practice maybe like one paper a day, I'm sure you'll be able to do well. So a very good example is this very good friend of mine. He was getting E8 for AMF his entire life. So even in prelim, he got E8. His teachers gave up on him, told him to drop, but he chose not to drop because he know that if he were to try and put in the effort, he can definitely do well. So from prelim all the way to like maybe O level, it's about 40 days or 40 plus days. Every day he did one paper. Okay, so be it from the TYS or be it a prelim paper, he will do one paper every day. And eventually, he got A2 for O-levels, which is a very big jump. It's a 6-grade jump from E8 to A2. So I would say that A-math is not really a subject that I would recommend you to drop. I mean, not because I'm a math teacher, but of course, it's because I know that if you put in the hard work and if you just keep practicing and practicing and practicing, you will realize that, oh, it is possible. And as I said before, I know memorizing is good, but it will not be as beneficial as understanding. So if you are struggling to understand the concepts within the last four or in the next 4 months rather, and if you think that you can't understand in the next 4 months, it's also fine, because as long as you know the steps that you must take, you don't need to understand them, you just need to know what formulas to use, what steps to take. I am sure you will be able to answer the questions in AMF. And also, I think for most students, AMF is a topic, is a subject that they can get either an A2 or A1 in, which will be very useful if you can use it in your L1R5 as compared to other subjects. So right now, back when I was in Sec 4, my friend was deciding between using geography as the last subject or AMF as the last subject. So both were E8. Why he decided to choose AMF was really because he knows that for geog, he must first memorize the content, understand the content, and last but not least, know what to write in the exam, because the topics are always different. The essay questions are always going to be different. So it's harder to study and harder to ace that subject in particular. Whereas for AMF, he knows that the topic kinds, the kinds of questions that they ask will always be the same. So I guess that was why he took on AMF instead of pure geog. So he dropped pure geog in the end. He didn't do very well, but it's fine because he was able to use AMF as an R5 subject, which was an A2. So that was very good. So I would say that try not to drop AMF as a subject, because it's really a subject that you can really grind your way through and get A2. It can be very tedious and very tiring when you're doing the papers. I get it. But another thing that a lot of students don't believe in, or rather I didn't believe in myself, was that momentum plays a part. So like, for example, if you did your first paper and you got 50, okay, it was your first pass in your life, your next paper, you will definitely get 50 and above. And then from there, you will just keep improving and improving and improving, because as you do a lot of papers, more practice, like what Daryl said, practice makes perfect. So your score will only keep going up and up and up. And then from there, I'm sure you'll do well for your O-levels. So try not to drop AMF, guys, and do not give up, because all you need to do is really put in the hard work and practice and practice and practice.
I think I'll come in from a very realistic POV, right? Which is, you shouldn't drop your AMF, because if you're aiming to go to JC, and you are planning, or you're more likely to take H2 math, which is for majority of the cohort, you need your AMF. So imagine you drop AMF, you just give up, and you say, no, I still want to go JC. Can. You go to JC, right, and you take math there, you're going to die even more. So the main reason why I say you have to just like pull it through, grind your teeth, and just put yourself through the AMF regime, is because especially if you're planning to go on to JC, you need it. Now, what if you're going on to poly? You say, HR, I technically don't need AMF, right? You are also wrong, because there's a lot of courses that requires AMF concepts, right? So if you're going into any engineering courses, anything that has to even touch math, I even say business-related courses, right? You still need some of the concepts there. So there is very little reason to drop AMF. If the reason you're dropping AMF because you suck at it, get better at it instead of giving up. Do you get what I mean? It's true, lah. I mean, it's a bit harsh, but it's the truth. It's what you need to hear. And the thing with A-Math, right, I can be certain about what Clarence said. Why? I also had a friend. He's both math, not even A-Math, both math. He failed at prelim. O-level, right, he get A1 for both. What was the secret? He did papers every day, lo. So you might think that, like, real or not. It's real. Because I failed my A-Math as well. June holiday, every week, I went back to school. My teacher gave me papers. I just do. Correction. By the time I hit O-level, I got an A as well. So it's not impossible. You just have to be dedicated to put the work in. If you have a good teacher or a good tutor, it will accelerate that process because they will be able to guide you through. But I know not all of you have tuition, and that's fine, right? Because you can still self-study, but you need to have the discipline, right? You need to be able to put in the plan, do the work, do the correction. You will see the improvement. Don't be impatient about it. Don't be anxious about it. You just need to start working. So A-Math is one of those subjects that I promise you, if you put in the work, you will get better at it. E-Math, in fact, I'll argue E-Math is harder to improve than A-Math. E-Math is quite easy to get to a certain point. Like, I get like a B3, A2. I am always hovering there. But to push from the A2 to A1, right, is not easy because the gap is very steep. A few careless mistakes drops you back to an A2. But for A-Math, right, if you make improvement, it will be leaps and bounds. So the insane improvement is not impossible. You just have to be very deliberate. You have to be very determined. So for those of you going to JC, please don't drop your AMF. You'll come to thank me and Clarence and Gabby in the future. But for now, don't give up yet. Now's not the time to give up. Okay? You still have time to work. You still have a lot of time. Especially if you're in Sec 3, you've got plenty of time. You just need to find the right way of doing math. And that will really build your confidence. And that will translate to a lot better results.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Dara and Clarence, for answering these questions, especially for those who really needed to hear this episode and are on the brink, you know, of dropping AMF. We hope this episode finds you guys, especially those studying for your O-levels. We know that you're very stressed, and we just want to say 加油! You can always come down for a free try. And as Clarence and Daryl said, we have a lot of resources, even if it's not Overmark's resources. You know, there are so many ways to take charge of your learning. With that, we wish you guys all the best for your O-levels in the next few months. And if you're interested in more of such content, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And we hope to cover more topics that mean more to you. See you guys.